Good morning. It is good to see everyone that is here, and appreciate so much our visitors that have come out to be with us this morning as we study from the Word of God. As has been mentioned, our gospel meeting begins, believe it or not, next week. And we'll have a series of topics dealing with things such as, is there a God? If He is, did He create the world? Does He care what I do? Does He care about me? Does He expect anything out of me? Things of that nature. And so I hope and pray that you'll continue to invite your friends, neighbors, relatives, co-workers to come to the meeting. I apologize that there's invitations in the back. We've printed up over 750 invitations. 600 of those have disappeared at the fair. So that's a good thing. If we look at these things and see the number of invitations that are being passed out, whatever's left at the fair booth is what we have left for passing out. There are some in the back that are designed for mailing. So feel free. I think there's about 100 or so in the back for that you can take, and just a postage stamp is all it takes to mail it. And just address every friend that you can think of. Maybe you've already invited them, but just send them another invitation. Let them know a reminder of the meeting. Really, when we look at the number of invitations that have been sent out, 450 meeting invitations have been sent out, mailed out, emailed out. That's just the ones I know of. I know of others that are learning the ways of Facebook and forwarding and inviting friends, and I'm so thankful that they're using the friends on their list to invite even more. The efforts that are being put forth for this meeting have been great. I want to express my appreciation to all who have been out to the booth. We had, I believe I counted, 68 DVDs when we started Friday morning, Friday afternoon, that were left over from the previous fair. We gave out a total of 70 the entire fair last year. And they were gone not long after I left. They were gone, and so meeting invitations, we went through 300 pens. The seed is being sown. Each and every one of those contain information about the church, information about our website, which provides individuals with a number of ways. And that's one of the things I want us to think about. If you would turn your Bibles to the 8th chapter of the book of Luke, we don't really think about evangelism in the way that we should. We don't really think about how easy it is to sow the seed of the kingdom. And really, the small expectations that God has for us in sowing the seed. We oftentimes think, well, it all depends on how someone hears it, how they receive it. That's what matters on our part. Look with me, if you would, in Luke chapter 8. Let's begin reading there in verse 5. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You know, we don't realize just how easy it is to go out and to sow the seed of the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter where it lies. It doesn't matter who picks it up. You don't read about the sower going out and sowing the seed and it falling on the wayside and he goes, "Oh, I dropped some seed over here. Let me pick this up." He sowed it. He threw the seed, let it fall wherever. That's what we need to understand. We look at certain individuals when the time comes to sow the seed and we go, "Well, they wouldn't receive it." And that's like that sower going, "Well, there's a rocky ground there, so I'm going to be very careful and I'm going to make sure I don't sow the seed over there." That's not the way Jesus illustrated it, is it? The sower went forth to sow the seed. The seed fell on rocky, thorny ground. It fell on the wayside where it had no chance whatsoever to grow, or where it would grow a little bit and then be choked out. We need to quit worrying about who's receiving it and just sow. That's the idea of printing off all of these invitations. I tell you, a little part of me, I cut each and every one of those 750 invitations out by hand. And when I see them laying on the ground, a part of me goes, oh man, my shoulder hurt for that. You think of the hours that were put in developing them and printing them, the difficulties that arose in printing them and the headaches that came along with that. And a part of you wants to go, let's be careful who we give these to. Make sure they'll take them and read them and come. But that's not the idea there, is it? The idea is they threw them on the ground or run out. Let's print some more. They just took our pen. They may never read our name. They may never read our web address. I don't care. The seed was given to them. We've done our part. Now, hopefully, there will be another part that will come. They'll attend our meeting, and we'll have some further responsibilities in watering the seed that has been sown. As I've talked about since I moved here, we as Christians are nothing more than seed throwers and water boys. Let's be about our job. Let's be about the work that needs to be done. Once again, I appreciate so much those who have come out, who have stepped out of their comfort zones, walked out into the throughway there in the fair and said, would you like a pen? Would you like a DVD? Here's an invitation to our meeting. To just all manner of people, all walks of life. But you know, there's some further things that we need to think about for this meeting to truly be a success. We've got to go further than just passing out invitations. We've got to go further than just making sure, well, the preacher's prepared. And I elicit your prayers on my behalf as I continue to prepare for this meeting. The subject matter that is being approached is not the easiest. It's not something that I feel that I'm an expert on. I have no degrees in biology or science. And yet, that's what the first part of the meeting is going to be dealing with somewhat. And so I appreciate your prayers on my behalf as I put the effort into putting together these lessons. But I can do the best job mankind has ever seen in delivering these lessons. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But if that were possible, it still does not mean that the meeting will be a success. We oftentimes put too much on the preacher, saying, well, it's his fault that the meeting wasn't a success. And I'm not saying that at times it's not. A preacher comes unprepared and obviously could care less about the subject, then yeah, it's partially his fault. But we need to understand some things about our meeting and some things that I hope will help us to have a successful meeting. First of all, we need to understand the purpose. These are some things that we've talked about before, but folks, we need to talk about it some more. We need to keep these things in front of us. What is the purpose of the gospel meeting? Is it just so we can say we've had a gospel meeting? I'm afraid in some congregations that's the whole reason why they have a meeting, so they can tell their brethren, we have a meeting in the spring and we have a meeting in the fall. And that's when we have our meetings. And we do that every year. We've been doing it every year for 30 years. Is that our purpose? I don't think so. The purpose, first and foremost, is to evangelize, to seek, and to save the lost of this world. The reason the topic has been chosen is one that we see in the forefront. We see it as a problem, the problem of evolution being taught in the schools, the removal of God from our school system, the removal of God from the everyday walks of life. The removal of God from existence. And so we look at these things and we need to be willing to stand for God. We need to have, as we've been talking in our young adults Bible study, we need to have the integrity to stand for God even when the world says it's a fable, it's a myth, it's ridiculous to believe in God. You see, in Romans chapter 1, there in verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Thus, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Talked about some stepping out of their comfort zone. They're not real comfortable walking up and talking to people or inviting them to a gospel meeting. What good does it do to preach a gospel meeting if there's no one there to listen? One of the primary purposes is to evangelize, to teach people of the God of heaven, that He is the creator of this world that we live in, that this world is a product of design, and that designer has a plan for us. What good does it do if we don't bring Him into the door? Another purpose that we have in evangelism is the idea of edification. When we look at these things, we see it's not only for those that are out there in the world that need to come in and hear the gospel, but sometimes we need to be taught, don't we? It amazes me how many Christians believe something and yet don't know why they believe it. How many Christians attend a particular congregation and yet don't know really why that particular congregation is the one that maybe they should be attending. And so there's a need for edification. There's a need for us to be brought together. In Hebrews chapter 10, there in verse 24, the author of Hebrews says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." You see, next week is a perfect opportunity for that "all the more" business there that you're reading. Not only invite others, but you make plans to attend. Even if no one that we invite shows up, and you're present, and you learn more about the gospel of Jesus Christ, you learn more about how to talk to others about creation and God, or you just are built up in your faith, then the gospel meeting is a success. We have the wrong goals. Oftentimes our goal is we want to get 100 people through that door. We want this auditorium to be packed. And that's a wonderful thing. I'd love for that to happen. But you know, the goal in every instance of preaching the gospel is that someone is either converted to Jesus Christ or built up in their faith. And so let's do what we can on our part to make sure that we encourage one another. If you look there in Revelation chapter 2, in Revelation chapter 2, there in verse 4, the Lord writing to the church there in Ephesus, John is recording the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus says to the church there in Ephesus, He says, "I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you, and will remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent." You see, the purpose of a gospel meeting is multifold. We need to be doing what we can to make sure that our part is being played to the fullest, that we're getting all that we can. Perhaps we need to be warned like the Laodiceans there. If you go over just one more chapter in verse 15 of chapter 3, where the Lord says to the church there in Laodicea, He says, "I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot, so because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth." Perhaps we're reaching that point where we're lukewarm. Perhaps we've become complacent in our lives. If you haven't read the bulletin, I would encourage you to read it. Some awful things have occurred over the past week. The only thing we can do is hope that some good comes out of it. In the bulletin, we have a statement from the preacher that committed the atrocities there in Auburn, Kentucky, in the rape of a 13-year-old girl. And preceding that is an article on some lessons that we can learn. And one of the lessons we need to learn is that could have been us. The preacher talks about he hadn't read his Bible, he hadn't studied, he hadn't prayed for months. How many of us might, with honesty, have to say, "Well, that's me, other than going to church. You know, he went to church on Sundays. He was a preacher. He was getting paid. Therefore, he was still going to church." But you can see the complacency that had arisen in his life. We need to be encouraged. Now, as I've mentioned, this meeting is really looking at both prospects, the idea of edification and evangelism. And so we need to be doing what we can to try to encourage people to attend and to make sure that we're here as well. But it takes preparation. I'm not even going to try to add up the number of hours that have gone into the planning and the production of all the things that we've had available. This congregation does not have the wherewithal to go to a particular place and go, okay, we would like to have this number of things printed up. This is what we would like on it. Every one of those invitations you passed out were, it cost us what, $14?
$13.20
for 750 invitations for us to pass out, full color. Preparation. Invitations have been made available to be used online, to be sent through email, to be sent through the mail, for you to hand out. They've all been prepared for you. That part has been done. But what are you doing on your part of the preparation? It takes more than just passing out some things at the fair. And once again, I appreciate so much those that have come. We've, I think, had the best turnout this year and the best coming and work this year, so much better than last year and the year before. And I'm so thankful for that. But our job's not done, is it? You see, we need to be prepared. You see, lack of preparation can kill a meeting. Not just in lack in having materials to pass out, not just in lack in having things to send out, but lack of preparation on your part. How many have been sitting there going, when is our gospel meeting? I'm not sure when our gospel meeting is. When it's been announced multiple times, the time that it's been available, the 20th through the 25th. And how many are unprepared to attend every service? How many have not set their schedules, prepared their lives so that they can be present? How many are unprepared to encourage others to attend? How many are going through their life going, well, I'm going to be there, but I don't know what else I can do. How many of you are unprepared to exhort the members at the services? How many of you are unprepared to invite those for whom the meeting is intended? How many of you are unprepared to visit and welcome them? It amazes me to see how people are unprepared for the meeting when they show up after it starts. Members of the congregation, I'm not talking about visitors. Visitors can show up at any point in time they'd like. And we're just happy they're here. But what does it say to the visitors that come, that show up early, and members of the congregation show up late or aren't there? You see, preparation involves efforts not just by one or two, but by everyone. We all need to be resolving to invite others. We all need to be resolving to be friendly to those who come. We all need to be resolving to be willing to step out of our comfort zone and maybe scoot forward so that when our visitors come in, there's plenty of seats there. They're not like Ann and I were when we were running late when we were visiting a congregation in Alabama and we were going to go to one and they had changed their time and so we had to quickly find somewhere else and we got there about 5 minutes after it started and there was a space to sit over here and a space to sit over there and a space to sit over there. Thankfully, the congregation was packed pretty good, but there was a lot of open spaces and that we had to weave our way through to find a place to sit. Let's make sure that's not the situation here. Let's give plenty of room for visitors to be able to come in and to sit wherever they would like. If they come in late, they can sit in the back so that they can hear the gospel. Let's resolve to be open and friendly to all who come. You see, successful preparation means working as though it depends on us and then pray as though it depends on God, because that's where it truly depends. But we need to also think about who the prospects are. Who are we trying to reach? Well, the prospects may be the unsaved. That's the goal of primarily every gospel meeting. Every time the gospel is preached, you're hoping to reach those who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're hoping to reach those that are in a lost condition and try to show them from the Scriptures the way that they can find the truth of God's Word. Invite the unsaved. Invite your friends, your neighbors, your relatives. We need to think about ourselves. Once again, the meeting is for us. Every member in the congregation is a prospect. Every one of us needs to be encouraged. Every one of us needs to be lifted up. We all get beat down by the things of this world. We all get discouraged. This is our opportunity to come together all the more so as the day of the Lord draws near, to encourage and to help lift one another up to love and good deeds. What should be done? Well, look out. All total, in what I'm aware of that has been sent, I know there are over 1,000 invitations that have been either handed out or mailed out. What's the population of Wellsburg? 15? 20? 1,000? You think of the area around us? The northern panhandle of West Virginia, the southwestern corner of Pennsylvania. There's a lot more that we can be doing. A lot more areas that can be reached. Look on the fields. They're white for harvest. People are looking, folks. If they weren't, new denominations wouldn't be creeping up. They're looking. If they weren't looking, they wouldn't be going from denomination to denomination trying to find the truth. They're looking. Let's invite them. Let's do what we can. And once again, our presence is necessary. I don't think this can be stressed enough. It's interesting, when you look at gospel meetings, Monday through Friday is generally lower than Sunday morning attendance. Generally. Now, that's including visitors, folks. Do you realize what I'm saying? I can't see. What's the attendance over here from last Sunday? 47. We have the ability to reach 55 or more if everybody's well. There's very little reason why we should have an attendance under 47 Monday through Friday of the gospel meeting. There's really very little reason why our attendance should be under 50 any night. And yet, as history would teach us, it probably will be. Why? Because some of the members don't come. They don't see it as important enough in their life to encourage the preacher, to encourage their brothers and sisters in Christ. Your presence helps. Look at 1 Corinthians there in chapter 2. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, there beginning in verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth, he said, "Now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ," in other words, he came there with the purpose of preaching. It says, "When a door was opened for me in the Lord," in other words, the Lord was opening an opportunity for him to preach the gospel, there were souls there that were ready to be saved. Look what he said in verse 13. "I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus my brother. Taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia." And we look at Paul and we think of all the travels that he did and all the work that he did in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you look at all that and you go, he gave up an opportunity because of a brother? A young man? How many of y'all have stood behind a pulpit, preached the gospel of Jesus Christ? Few, right? So you really can't understand exactly how it feels to stand up here to have prepared yourself to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the ones who should be here to encourage you are gone. It saps the spirit. It changes the way a fellow can preach. It changes the heart. You don't want it to, but it does. Your presence plays a big part in the successfulness of this meeting. Your presence will make or break the meeting. You will make the difference. That's what we need to keep in mind. As we look at these things, we need to understand that there is no place for excuses. There is no time to give an excuse. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Luke. Let's look there at the words of Christ. as he's teaching his disciples in Luke chapter 14. Let's begin reading there in verse 15. It said to Jesus, when one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. That sounds like a wonderful statement, isn't it? One that we could repeat. Blessed are those that get to eat the bread in the kingdom of God. But Jesus replies in verse 16, a man was giving a big dinner and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I've bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. And another one said, I have married a wife and for that reason I cannot come. And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the slave said, Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. I dread getting phone calls on Saturday evening, Wednesday afternoon. They usually entail one thing. I'm not going to be at church. Such and such is going on. Can't make it. No matter how many times I make this statement from the pulpit, I don't want to hear your excuses. I can't excuse you. I can't write you a little pass, go, okay, you're excused from worshiping the Lord your God. I don't have that power. I can't write you out a permission slip and say, all right, well, when you get to heaven, you give God this and just show Him that Tim Henderson said, yep, you were okay to miss. But excuses will still be given. Oh, I couldn't make it such and such night. I had this going on. I had this previous engagement going on. What they don't realize they're saying is, I consider this to be more important than worshiping God. Point blank, that's what you're saying. When you say, I had this previous engagement that I had to attend. Did you have to? Really? Did your job depend on it? Did your health depend on it? Then I don't think you really had to. Don't give me your excuses. Tell it to your brethren. You stand before your brethren and tell them why you couldn't be there. To encourage them, to help them in the effort that was being put forth. You tell it to the visitors who know that you attend here and ask the question, well, where's so-and-so? Don't they attend here? They said that they were going to be here. They invited me to the meeting. Where are they? You tell it to the lost who wonder if the gospel or the church is truly worth it. And learn by watching those who did not attend, oh no, it's not. There are other things more important than God. You tell it to those who had the exact same reason to miss and yet were here. Most importantly, don't call me. Tell God. Give your reason to God as to why you think you should be excused. I beg of you, once again, don't give me your excuses as to why you're not here. That doesn't do any good at all. It tells me that you thought other things were more important than God, and that disheartens me. Horrible. Just as it does so many others. Tell your excuse to the Lord, who gave no excuse to come to this earth. Who made no excuse when it was time for Him to face death. Who made no excuse to God but said, Lord, let Your will and not mine be done. Who, when they nailed Him to the cross, when they lifted Him up, He made no excuse but served the Lord. Finally, we need to understand that participation is a big part. Participation is very important in gospel meeting because we're going to have people, hopefully, we're praying, we're inviting, we're going to have people who are going to come that maybe have never stepped foot in a church building before in their life. Maybe they're out there wondering in the world, well, is there really a God? I'm not sure. These people say they think they can show me the answer, so I'm going to go and I'm going to listen to them. So make sure they don't see you sitting there going, make sure that when the song leader is leading the songs, they don't see you there going and laying the song book to the side. Make sure they don't see you sitting there with the most glum look on your face, like this is the last place in the world you'd ever want to be. Because what you tell to each and every visitor when they see those things in you is, this is not important. This is not worth my time. There's somewhere else I'd much rather be. Folks, we need to understand there's a need for everyone to participate. You need to participate before and after the worship services. Show up early. It's great when the preacher's there to welcome people to come in. But you know what? That's expected. Isn't it? I've been to a gospel meeting before where there was a preacher there and he didn't speak to anybody. I'm like, what? I mean, I walked right by him, shook hands with a fellow right across from him, turned around, and he just kind of stood there. That's expected of the preacher. But having had the privilege to travel across the eastern United States and to attend congregations in various different places, I'm going to tell you, the congregations that stick in my memory are the ones where members come up and shook my hand and talked to me. We attended a congregation in Hueytown, Alabama. A congregation of over 300, and I guarantee you, 300 individuals shook my wife and my hand. And I was impressed. Well, I felt like when I left, I knew some people there. Show up early. Hang around late. Yes, I know you've got to get up and go to work in the morning. I understand that. And of our visitors, we don't ask anything of them, but they come and open their Bible and study with us. That's all we ask. But of our members, push yourself a little harder if you can. Hang around. Talk to them. Invite them back. If you went to a meeting and everybody invited you to come back the next night, wouldn't you be more likely to come than if you went to a meeting where the preacher is the only one who said, well, come back? It means more when it comes from y'all. Once again, it's expected of the preacher. It's expected of elders. It's expected of preachers' wives and elders' wives. And so let's bust their expectations and everybody. Get out of your comfort zone and shake hands. Welcome them. 1 Peter chapter 4, there in verse 9, the Apostle Peter says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. You know, one of the great things that you can do is just invite them to your home. Say, I got some cake and coffee at home. Would you like to come over? Or can we get together at another time and talk some more about the things that you've heard? Let them know we care. And then participate during the service. Once again, this is of utmost importance. That they see us participating in the worship services. That they see us taking part. That we sing in a spirited manner. I've used this illustration numerous times, but I wonder sometimes if it sinks in. Which one would you believe? Jesus, my heavenly King, loves me each day. Closer to Him I cling. Jesus, my heavenly King, loves me each day. Which one do you think really loves Jesus? Oh, I know your voice ain't pretty as mine. It's a whole lot prettier. I understand that. Or maybe like me, you just don't think your voice is all that great. You just love Jesus so much, you just don't care. Folks, that's the way it ought to be. There's no mumbling in heaven. There's no murmuring in heaven. You're singing songs of praise to God. You're teaching and admonishing one another in songs of praise. Let them hear it. Let them hear in the singing that you're happy to be here. I'm happy today. Oh yes, I'm happy today. Instead of, I'm happy today. Oh yes. No, you're not. Don't lie in your singing. If you're going to lie in your singing, as far as the Lord's concerned, you're better off just not singing. And really, you're not better off if you're unwilling to sing praises to God here. Do you really think He wants you in heaven? Folks, these are things to think about. Don't be afraid to say amen. There was a time in this land where a preacher would preach and he'd have to pause because, amen, brother. Amen. Amen means, so be it. I agree. Nowadays, the best you get is, amen, that even the person in front of them can't hear. Or when someone does go, amen, everybody's, what is he doing? That's not right, is it? Participate. Bring your Bibles. Don't use the one in the pew in front of you. Those are there for the visitors. If you're a Christian, you better have a Bible. Bring it. Let people see you bring it so that they can know that it is of utmost importance to you. What do you think a teacher thinks of a student that never brings their book to class? Well, they don't care. I'll just fail them. Open your Bibles and study. Take notes. Hopefully these lessons will be beneficial to you in helping to talk to others. Those who are leading in the worship services. There will be those who will be leading singing. Those who will be leading in prayer. Prepare yourself. Sing with enthusiasm. That doesn't mean you have to sing 90 miles a minute. Sometimes there's a misconception in that. They think, well, the faster I sing, the more enthusiasm I have. No, that's usually not the case. If it's like me when I first started lead singing, that just shows how nervous you are. But don't sing a happy song at the pace of a funeral dirge. Sing with enthusiasm. It catches. You don't believe me? You go and sit in an auditorium where you've got numbers of people leading singing, and you can tell the difference in the tone of the songs between who's leading the singing. Those who sing with feeling and lead the singing with feeling. The auditorium, the congregation sings with feeling. People sing out that may not normally sing out. And those who lead like that's the last place in the world they want to be, well, the congregation follows suit. Whatever part you can play, do your part. Be like those noble Bereans there in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Where we read that these Bereans were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. I'm telling you now, I'm doing the best I can to prepare the lessons, to present them to the best of my ability. I've devoted countless hours to study above and beyond my normal times of study. I've been working on some of these for months. I'm going to do my best. It's not the best that can be done. I'll warrant that. But the meeting depends on you. Look into the world. I love this picture. It's the world at night. I was afraid it wouldn't show up very well. It's pictures taken from space and put together into a map. You can see the white, can't you? Those are concentrations of people, lights. That's where the majority of the world lives. And you can see, if you look here, now there's a lot of folks that live over here, but they don't have as much power as we do. This is the United States of America here. And if you know here, the eastern side has a lot more lights than the western side. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest. You see, we've left out the most important thing for the success of this meeting. You can prepare all you want. You can participate all you want. You can be present. You can do all the things that we've talked about. But if we leave God out of the equation, it will not be a success. If you haven't already begun, start today praying for the success of this meeting. Pray that open hearts will come to hear the gospel. Pray that there will be those that will come that will receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray that this congregation will be a group of people that God sees fit to use in His kingdom. And as I mentioned in the beginning, pray for the preacher. He needs it. Pray for understanding of the preacher, for knowledge of the preacher, for ability of the preacher. But pray. As the Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you. Our meeting begins Sunday. Lord willing, Chuck and I will have some more announcements. If you would like some more announcements, we're going to try and have some more by Monday. We've printed up twice the number that we've ever done for any meeting before, and they're gone. And I'm thankful. I may have been a little bitter last night. And we'll take it. It's not fun. Sitting there pulling that thing down 500-600 times in about an hour. It's not fun. But it's necessary. And we'll do it some more. As many hand invitations as you can pass out. Toss them. Doesn't matter if they read them. You're handing them the seed when you give it to them. Okay? Keep that in mind. Doesn't matter if you think they'll come or not. Give them an invitation. Even if they say no, you've still spread the seed. They just put up their hand and blocked it. And that's fine. We have done our part in throwing out the seed. Be here for the meeting. Invite others to the meeting. Encourage those that attend. Encourage those that you've invited to attend. Continue to strive to help the meeting to be a success. But perhaps we've talked about certain things this morning and service that we can offer to God, and maybe someone in this audience is realizing, I've not been giving any service at all to God. My life is not right with God, therefore I can't be a help at all. My life is not an example of a Christian. I'm not even a Christian. Then today is your opportunity to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. The questions we ask are simple. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes? Okay. Do you understand that things in your life separate you from God? The way that you live, the things that you do that are displeasing in the sight of God will separate you from that close, wonderful fellowship that we should all desire to have. Yeah? Well, welcome on board with everybody else in the world. There's only one way to have those sins removed. And that's by confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God and being buried in baptism. And your sins will be washed away. If you're baptized for any other reason than for the forgiveness of your sins, then your baptism was of no effect. If you are not baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then your baptism was of no effect. You need to obey the gospel truly. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel, but you've not remained faithful. You've not been doing your work. You've been sitting there watching others do their work, and you've refused to do anything. Then today is the day to devote yourself once again to the Lord. Whatever your situation might be, make it right now as we stand and as we sing.